Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 30 of 2021. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at The Odds Breakers. Follow us on social media / The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by JazzSports.ag. For a 100% sign-up bonus, please visit JazzSports and use the promo code OddsBreakers. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to help us out, sponsor the website and the podcast, we'd love to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, and become a member. For $24.99 a month, you can get my premium plays before the line moves. If nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. My friends, the NFL draft is almost here. And last week, I promised you guys that we are going to have a great guest. Well, I think we achieved that because today we have NFL insider Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Group of Podcasts, The Dan Patrick Show, CBS Sports, and Westwood One is coming on to help us break down the NFL draft from a sports betting perspective. We're going to have some leans and we're going to have some plays. And we're going to have some information on this extremely volatile and chaotic draft that we're about to witness next week. Before Ross comes on, I'm going to go over my NFL draft quarterback rankings. I ranked the prospects just like I did all the years before. Now, the reason I put so much work into the quarterbacks is because quarterbacks move the needle. They move the spread. They move the line a lot more than other players do. I think people know that. I think you listeners know that because you've been listening to the show for a while now. At least most of you have. Quarterbacks are the most important, so I wanted to focus and study them the most so I can help prepare on season win totals. I can help prepare on NFL futures. And I can help prepare for the 2021 NFL season. So, going to cover this briefly. Top 10. Anything after 10, you kind of have to wait and see, in my opinion. We could have went farther. I think there's some potential diamonds in the rough after 10. But I think 10's good enough for this show and to give you an idea of my thoughts on where these guys rank. I mean, I think the number one is quite obvious. Seriously? I mean, it's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I've never seen this kind of leadership come out of someone when he was a true freshman. Trevor Lawrence enrolled to Clemson a semester early. He finished high school in the winter and enrolled in the spring. Practiced all year with Clemson, learned the playbook. And you remember when he came in after the third game, Dabo Swinney replaced Kelly Bryant for Trevor Lawrence. And we thought it was a risky move at the time, but he ended up winning the rest of his games, including the playoffs and the national championship. What a fantastic leader. And of course, the next 2 years, he went to the playoffs, right? I mean, he only lost to LSU. And you remember how good LSU was last year. Right. This year, without Lawrence, they lost to Notre Dame. But when Lawrence came back, they destroyed Notre Dame. And then they lost to Ohio State. Ohio State had a lot more talent. I thought Lawrence's best team was the year they won the national championship. It was pretty good the next year as well. But I don't even think it was as close to his best team last year. But either way, how do you not love this kid? 6'6 frame. It allows him to see over the offensive line with ease. 70% completion percentage last year and a 24-5 TD to interception ratio. And he missed some games due to COVID. He's a surefire number one. And Trevor has the highest floor out of any of these quarterbacks in the draft. in my opinion. Number two, the combine really said it all to me for this guy. Not the combine, the NFL pro day. We didn't have a combine. Justin Fields. He ran a 4.44 40-yard dash. Pretty mind-blowing for a quarterback. Justin can throw the ball accurately down the field. We've seen that happen to his speedy receivers, Wilson, Olave. He seems to throw with precision. Does a fantastic job. He also has proven that he can take a beating and keep on ticking, right? He did that in the Clemson game. I mean, let's hope these beatings do not continue unless it's done in the playoffs. But a 70% completion percentage, just like Trevor last year, with a 26-6 touchdown to interception ratio on a shortened season. Gotta love that. That pulled him ahead of Zach Wilson, in my opinion. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Ohio State quarterbacks, and I get it. I get it. But this one is special because the NFL is kind of moving towards a run second quarterback. Like maybe you check down once, and if that's not there, you can get a big chunk of yards. That's what Justin Fields is. And I'm serious when I say this Ohio State quarterback is going to turn out.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
All right, for the next quarterback, we do have Zach Wilson. And obviously not a big shocker here. I mean, this kid from BYU wowed everybody. Right? BYU didn't even have a schedule in a makeshift one. Played like 10 games. Didn't get COVID. And they beat everybody. They knew they were good, so they hustled and got a schedule. They know that they knew they were going to be very good this last year, and they were fantastic. Zach Wilson, 73.5 completion percentage on a 33-3 touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, amazing year. He's a more traditional 6'3", 210-pound pocket-type quarterback. It probably fit him a little bit better to be taller, but my biggest issue really with BYU is that even though they made their schedule quickly, it still was an easy schedule, ranking only 104th in the nation on Sagarin. You know? How many Power 5 teams were they better than? Certainly most of them. But my question is, if they played the upper echelon, like the Penn States, you know, maybe the Texas A&M's, right? What if they played teams like the Iowa States, the Texases? How good would they have been? I don't know. I think they would have beat a couple of them for sure. But this kid can be very dangerous. And he looks like a winner. And for number four, I think you guys might know where I'm going with this. Mac Jones. All right. Same problem with Ohio State guys. Alabama guys do not turn out in the NFL. Blah, blah, blah. Heard that plenty of times. Obviously, Tua and Jalen Hurts, which is kind of an Oklahoma guy too, is still to be determined. But I saw a lot of Joe Burrow in Mac Jones last year. I mean, Mac was able to make some very quick decisions with some smooth checkdowns. I mean, he did play with the best of the best, but he still was able to read the defenses pre-snap and post-snap. I really like that about him. You know, he didn't look flawed at this highest level. He didn't look too nervous, too like the stage was too big for him. So 77% completion, 41-4 TD to interception ratio. I know it's DeVonta Smith. I know some of that's Jalen Waddle, but still, are you kidding me? those numbers are fantastic. Let's just hope that the Bears don't draft him so he doesn't get ruined. Next, we have this one's a little bit different than a lot of people. Kyle Trask from Florida. I mean, the kid's a winner. He did everything, and he just couldn't make his defense better, right? Very close in that Alabama game. They only lost by 6 points in that SEC title game. Did he have great pass catchers too? Sure. You know, Kyle Pitts, Grimes, Tony. Those made it easier. But what helped bring Trask into my top five was his size. 6'5", 240. His decision-making in the pocket helped. I mean, some of the cons against him are the fact that he was in a spread-type system at Florida. And he was kind of scheme-dependent in a way because of that. But still, 68.9% completions, 43-8 touchdown-to-interception ratio is fantastic. Number six. Let's talk about Texas A&M. Let's talk about Kellen Mond. He's another 6'3 quarterback in this draft. But what Kellen has over some guys that I've ranked over him is experience in a pro-style offense. And Texas A&M kind of runs a pro-style offense. They do. And I must say that I whiffed on this Texas A&M team and thought Mond didn't have the confidence to step up to some of the competition. But, I mean, he played fantastic football and showed great poise against LSU, against Florida. They beat Florida, kind of ruined their season a little bit. And at Auburn and North Carolina in their bowl game was ease. I mean, North Carolina was coming with all this hype, and look what they did to North Carolina in their bowl game. So my only crack against Mond is that he had a little bit lower of a completion percentage, 63.3% and 19 touchdowns, but he at least only had 3 interceptions, so that's good. Number 7, finally got to him. North Dakota fans, please don't send me any hate mail. I'll slide into my DMs with some hate. Trey Lance. He's a good quarterback still. I mean, but I don't have him top 3, top 4 like a lot of other draft people do. He's an FCS level quarterback, right? And the whole Carson Wentz thing has gotten out of hand. I think Lance is going to be somewhat of a project. Let's face it. North Dakota State is kind of the best system in the FCS. It's not a pro-style offense. You know, he had a huge redshirt freshman season in 2019, 67% of his passes, 2,786 yards with 28 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. I also like the fact that he ran 1,100 yards with 14 touchdowns on the ground. But I suppose his rushing yards was a little bit bigger since sacks are taken away. But Trey Lance reminds me of kind of like Jordan Love, right? But you still have to see that he was in a big program in the FCS, a program that's better than most of his competition. So that's why he's 7th for me rather than 3rd or 4th as some other draft experts have him. Number 8, Davis Mills. Davis is another quarterback that could make some noise. 6'4", 210. He kind of quietly led the Cardinal to a nice 4-2 record last year. He screwed up some people's bets last year. 5 of his 6 games were all away from home, too. So the good thing for Mills is that he was in a pro-style offense at Stanford, and he completed over 65% of his passes over the last 2 years. His skill set translates well into the NFL, and the offense is there. He needs some improvement making decisions in the pocket, but he can be very dangerous and another good project for some teams. I like Davis Mills at 8. Number 9. I have Sam Ellinger, and I'm going to miss this kid playing Texas football. Sam was the best thing that Texas has had over the past 4 or 5 years. The kid's got a massive heart. He can take a hit. He loves football. He can run the ball. He eats, breathes, and sleeps football. I think if Texas could have somehow kept a decent team around him without losing guys to transfers, to the NFL, to injuries, his draft stock would have been a lot higher. Sam's a nice 6'3", 230 pounds. His completion percentage dipped a bit from 65% to 60% last year, but he had some very nice performances against Oklahoma and Iowa State, only losing those games by single digits. And these teams were more stacked than Texas was, in my opinion. Texas, well, stacked when I say Oklahoma, better recruiting. But Texas, they're supposed to have better recruiting, but I don't know. Somehow those guys are not is really living up to where they were ranked, you know? So I just think Ellinger can improve. If he can improve as a pocket passer, he could be a very interesting player in the NFL. I mean, his high side's a starting quarterback. I mean, that's his upside. I don't think he's going to be like a Aaron Rodgers or nothing, but I like him. Number 10, finally, Mr. Ian Book from Notre Dame. Whose Wheaties did this kid piss on to be projected to not get drafted by most of these analysts? I mean, he only made Notre Dame extremely relevant over the past few years. He was huge versus some of those wins versus Clemson when they just destroyed North Carolina. I mean, when he hit the postseason games is his knock, right? Clemson and Alabama, great defensive play. That didn't help his draft stock at all. But he was under pressure those games. I was watching him. He didn't have a lot of time to develop anything there. And I thought that Brian Kelly kind of dropped the ball a little bit coaching against those big teams. But he's smaller. 6 foot, 212, flat-footed. You know, he's not going to outrun too many people. You know, Ian's 65% completion percentage and 15-3 TD to interception ratio looks pretty good on paper, but he did have an easier ACC schedule. So that's why he's not, you know, projected high. But one thing I noticed watching him is that he can throw the seam route. That's very important in the NFL. He can check down to his other receivers, to his tight ends. You know, he came from a pro-style offense. I like that. I also like the fact that he seems to have a decent ceiling, you know? I mean, who else was small that got a lot of flack for it that looked kind of the same as him coming out? Drew Brees from Purdue. I'm not comparing the two. Please don't think I am. But still, that's the max upside that he could ever have. But with a kid that works hard and his determination and playing at Notre Dame like he has, I wouldn't be shocked if he steals a starting position at some point here. So he is my number 10. If you guys have any disagreement or agreement with these rankings, please feel free to tweet us at the Odds Breakers. Without further ado, let's get into the NFL draft with Mr. Ross Tucker. Now I'm very excited to bring back a former NFL player and Princeton University two-time academic All-American. You've heard him broadcast football games for us every single weekend, the Dan Patrick Show, and of course pertaining to this audience, Even Money, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and the College Draft. I'm very excited to welcome back NFL insider Mr. Ross Tucker to the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, thanks for coming back to the Oz Breakers, and a huge congratulations to your success, man. You're literally everywhere.
Well, Kiev, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you for saying that. And yeah, I was looking forward to getting back on your show. I got to get you back on the Even Money podcast soon as well, because we're rolling with that one. Steve Fezzik does a tremendous job. And I remember him saying to me after you came on last year how impressed he was by you. He doesn't say that about every guest I bring on. Steve has a very high standard as the only two-time winner of the Super Contest at the Westgate. So he knows all the math, and he can tell the guys that don't really know the math, you know, pretty quickly. I've softened him up a little bit, but he's awesome on the Even Money podcast. So I appreciate you having me. And yeah, man, it's so funny, Kip. I thought if you would have told me in August, Ross, you're not going to get a chance to broadcast any games this season, I would have accepted that, right? I thought college football was dead in the water. I didn't know for NFL if Westwood One would be doing the games on the radio. I didn't know how that would work. I ended up doing 27 games, man. Not only did I do 27 games, last week, last Saturday, I called the Patriot League Championship between Bucknell and Holy Cross for CBS. So, but 27 in the fall, man. 27 Holy games, cow. 13 on TV for CBS, 14 on the radio for Westwood One. It's a blast. I mean, I have a very simple philosophy. If someone is going to pay me to talk about football in any capacity, I say yes. That's my life philosophy.
Exactly. Football and sports betting. So, you know, that's what we love. And yes, you were on amazing amount of games you called last year. I couldn't believe it. And you're right, just like me, I couldn't believe that we had this many college games. There are some teams that did a much better job than others, but at the same time, you can't really blame people for getting sick anyway, right? It just kind of happens in sections of the United States and sections of the world, but some teams really pulled out a full schedule, and major props to them for doing that. But why don't you tell the audience a little bit more about your podcasts that are growing exponentially as we speak?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll be quick with it. You know, Ross Tucker Football Podcast, 30 minutes on-demand audio. You can check it out on YouTube as well if you're into that, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. But just basically 30 minutes of keeping everyone up to date on what's going on in the NFL every day, right? So, like, if you need an NFL source, that's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast from a former player's perspective. We've got Even Money, which is the betting, Fantasy Feast if you're into fantasy football, and College Draft if you're into all the draft stuff, which obviously is what you and I are going to talk about and is huge this time of year. So you can kind of binge listen to the College Draft podcast to catch up on everything. And Andrew Brandt also does the Business of Sports podcast on my platform, which I don't think there's anything else like it, which is really interesting. I think this week he's going to dive into the Super League, which I don't know much about. I've just been following on social media. So I'm going to have to listen to the Business of Sports just to find out what the heck is going on with the Super League.
Yeah, no doubt. I have no idea what's going on there either, man. But yeah, all your podcasts are great. And I've been listening to them myself. And there's a ton of information about the draft. And listening to the College Draft podcast and the Ross Tucker Football podcast has really given me some insights to some players that I didn't even think about here. And I recommend to anybody listening or watching this video to go check that out. Well, let's get into the draft a little bit then. It's going to be a crazy one from what everyone's saying. It's actually being called potentially the most chaotic draft in history. Now, it obviously hasn't happened yet. But why is it going to be so crazy, Ross?
This is like perfect timing, dude. I literally talked to Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl executive director, 18 years as an NFL scout, today, this morning already, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And he made a really interesting point. Everybody thought last year's draft was chaotic because all of the decision makers were in their homes, right? We had all the home cameras and the whole deal, which, by the way, thinking back, what a job by the NFL. They got cameras in like Bill Belichick's house on Nantucket and like all these people. I mean, they got cameras everywhere. It's really, really a job well done by the NFL to get all those cameras and all those spots so that we could watch the draft. I thought it was awesome last year. I really enjoyed it. But last year, at least, the scouts had a chance throughout 2019 to go to the college football programs, meet with the players, meet with the coaches, get all the information they needed. Then they had the combine. They had all the medical stuff. They met with these kids two or three times. But that was last year. This year, you weren't allowed to go to these college facilities. You weren't allowed to meet with the players. If you went to a game, you weren't allowed on the field. And so, as Jim said this morning on the Ross Tucker podcast, you know, whereas other years you go into the O-line coach's office, you shut the door, you shoot the bull with him for a little bit. This year, you did that on a Zoom, and there's like 80 people on the Zoom. So you're not going to get nearly the same kind of information. You're not able to really meet with the players that much. You know, there was no combine interviews, all that stuff. So they just talking with the teams and talking with Jim on today's show, they just feel like there is a much smaller repertoire of information, right? They just don't feel like they have nearly the same amount of data and info, especially like the background info on these guys as they otherwise normally would have.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I mean, the whole combine not happening, that's kind of where they separate the real numbers from the from some of the, you know, built numbers from pro days and things like that. And the way I prepared is I just tried to look as many pro days as I actually could to get some of that information, Ross. And just having players sit out last year really throws off my numbers, because now you're comparing guys that played the same position last year to a wide receiver. Like for LSU, he got Ja'Marr Chase. He's competing against the same receivers on the same team, you know, for a draft position. Now, we all already know that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a high draft pick, but you just have so many other variables out there. You know, I actually look at this class, Ross, and maybe it's just because of last year. I don't think it's as strong as other ones, man. You know, I guess the Trevor Lawrence part and some of the high ends of some of the teams or some of the positions look pretty good. But in general, do you think this is kind of a down year for the draft?
Well, I think there are still some really strong positions, but I also think there are some positions that are down. You know, one thing I hadn't thought of, and Kalen Kaler did a good job finding this out, less than 700 guys have signed with agents. The last 2 years, it's more like 1,800, 1,900. So a lot of guys are taking advantage of the extra year of eligibility that college football gave them. A lot of them are going to the transfer portal. So rather than going to the NFL, now, in fairness, most of these guys are probably later round picks and undrafted free agents. I don't think it's affected the top three rounds that much. But there are guys, Chris Olave probably would have been a first-round pick. He went back to Ohio State. You know, there are other guys that are in that situation, certainly, that went back to school. I just think it's more of a depth thing in a lot of positions with there just aren't as many guys eligible for the draft.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. And, you know, they also want to try to improve their own draft stock in this situation, you know. So good call on that. Let's get into a little bit more about the positions in the draft since we brought them up, Ross. So before we get that, I like to cover the teams that are going to be trading up for a quarterback. That's what I want to cover next. I have two teams that I circled that very much could trade up for a quarterback, very probable of that happening, in my opinion. Then I have a couple teams that look like maybes to me. And I'll just tell you mine right away, New England and Denver. You know, Denver has a new GM there. Denver knows that they've whiffed on quarterbacks, and rumor has it they've been trying to trade Drew Locke over the offseason here. So there's some potential that they might try to go up and get a Trey Lance or possibly a Mac Jones. And New England, we've never seen this from New England, the amount of free agency moves that they've made. I think they realized that they had a gift better than they even thought during the Tom Brady era with Tom Brady. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go crazy here and trade down themselves. So those are my two, I guess, highly probable teams to trade up. And my other three are Chicago. Who knows what they're going to do with Pace there. Washington. I don't think Washington's completely set on quarterback with Fitzmagic. I think they're going to roll with him, but they who knows what they're going to do in Detroit. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, after you said New England and Denver, the two that came to mind for me, definitely Washington and Chicago. I can see them potentially jumping in front of the Patriots if one of these top five guys falls. I don't think they would go into the top 10. I just don't think they want to trade that many assets. But if one of the top five guys is still there when New York drafts at 11 or Philadelphia 12, LA 13, Minnesota 14, then I can certainly see Washington or Chicago moving up 7, 8, 9 spots to get in front of the Patriots to take that fifth quarterback. Because I do think four will go by Denver at nine. I'd be surprised if at least four didn't go. Look, all five might go, but certainly I think four will go by Denver at nine.
All right, well, there you go. And I think so, too. I did a mock draft myself. Well, I've been working on it, and I'm almost finished. But, of course, this thing's going to change about five or six times before the chaos happens. And I think any mock draft is not even going to be close to accurate because I think there's a ton of teams that want to trade down. I don't know if they're successfully going to trade down, but I think that there's a lot more teams that are just kind of scratching their heads on these positions. And I think when we get into the strengths of these positions, we can talk a little bit about that. Starting out with the first question here, which position group do you think, or groups, are the strongest in this draft?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm breaking any news here, but I would say wide receiver and O-line. O-line might not have that many, like, studs, like top 10 type guys, but there's a lot of depth, both the interior O-line and the tackles. There's a lot of guys, second, third round, etc. But even so, I think a lot of these guys will end up going in the first round. I mean, I think you'll see five, six, seven O-linemen in the first round. And then of the wide receivers, we already knew about that. And everybody knows the top guys, you know, Jamar Chase, the Alabama kids. But there's a lot of guys. I mean, if you watch college football, Rondale Moore from Purdue, Elijah Moore, Ole Miss, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Kadarius Toney, like you can go on and on. The two Louisville kids, Terrace Marshall from, I mean, it is really incredible how many good receivers there are. And I think a lot of that is because of 7-on-7 football. You know, and these kids have been playing receiver a lot earlier in their lives. You know, anybody that's a receiver in college, a lot of them used to be running backs growing up or quarterbacks because they wanted the ball in that kid's hand all the time, right? When they're trying to win games, Pop Warner, junior high, it's a little bit different now. I think kids know being a wide receiver is cool. They throw the ball in junior high now and 7-on-7s, and I think that's why you're seeing, you know, it seems like every year in a row now, we've got a lot of good wide receiver types.
And the kids just got to be trained to complain a lot when they get to the NFL if they're going to be a receiver. I'm glad you mentioned wide receiver because I got some beef about wide receivers that we're going to discuss here shortly from the 2020 NFL draft, Ross. I agree with you. I wrote down offensive line and wide receiver. And I kind of put quarterbacks there just because – They're pretty strong with the five, and I'm not. I still would rank it offensive line first, wide receiver for sure. So 100% agreement with you on that. Which position groups are the weakest?
Defensive tackles, really, really bad. I mean, there's not much of a top end, and then there's not a whole lot of depth either. It's kind of interesting because that's a position where we have seen a bunch of good players recently, but, you know, there might not be one that goes in the first round. And then even the guys, you know, like Ozuriki from Washington, Barmore, Alabama, you know, okay, second round pick, but there's not a lot of depth after that. So defensive tackle, I really believe, is like historically bad. And I think tight end's pretty bad too. I mean, Kyle Pitts is maybe the best tight end prospect ever. He's certainly way up there. I think Pat Freiermuth, Penn State, Tommy Tremble, Notre Dame are pretty solid. But then even after that, it drops off. And I think part of that is there's a lot of teams don't really use tight ends that much. Like you watch college football, there's just not as many of them, right? It's like go to the grocery store, there's just not as many of them.
Yeah, what happened to the two tight end sets with the Patriots they used to run, you know?
Well, they're doing it again now that they got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in the NFL, they still do it. There's just not that many in college.
Yeah, and so they take a chance on them later. And I do agree with you. As a matter of fact, I thought tight ends were somewhat weak last year after Komet. It really dropped off. And yes, I do agree. Pitts is the greatest tight end prospect that I've seen come out. But it just really drops off after that. I put safety there too. I'm not sure if there will be a first round pick in this under the safety. Nothing blows me away. Now, are they somewhat deep? Probably, but I still think the position group is a little weak. And I did write interior defensive line, so 100% on there. And I wrote edge rusher. And I guess that would be my fourth. But nothing, I mean, I guess maybe I'm spoiled on Nick Bosa and Chase Young. You know, maybe I'm a little spoiled about Josh Allen and those groups that came out. But I'm just not seeing any edge rushers that necessarily blow me away. I mean, one of the top guys ran a 4.37 40 at 260, Oa from Penn State. And he didn't even get a sack last year. You know, so what's going on with that? But you have 100% agreement from me on the defensive line as well. What position groups are the deepest in this draft? Something that maybe, you know, I'll be like, yeah, I kind of need it. I kind of need it, but I can wait for it type thing.
Yeah, well, it's actually the same answer, I think, to the strongest in the draft. I think it's O-line and wide receivers, which makes it really interesting, right? You know, on the last week, Kiev, on the Fantasy Feast podcast, Scott Barrett, who does a great job, he pointed out, I think there's been 23 or 25 wide receivers taken in the first round since 2015. Only two have made a Pro Bowl, Amari Cooper and Justin Jefferson. There's been a lot of good young receivers. A lot of them are second rounders. You know, you think about DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown and Terry McLaurin. There's a lot of them. So I do think it's one of the reasons why the free agents, you know, market wasn't great for receivers. I think some of these teams think we can get a really good one in the second round. You know, we don't need to second or third round, maybe. We don't need to take one in the first round. Let's get somebody in the first round that, you know, at corner or D-line or something like that. Same with O-line. I mean, you look at, like, Creed Humphrey and Quinn Miners from Wisconsin Whitewater. You know, there's a lot of O-linemen, both tackles, Eichenberg from Notre Dame, Tevin Jenkins, Oklahoma State, Cosme, Texas. There's a bunch of tackles and interior guys that will go in the second and third round that I think have a great chance to start right away.
And Cosme had the best pro day numbers of them all. So he was someone that really stuck out to me, but apparently his scouting report said his knees are a little bit too straight when he's blocking. But, you know, that's something that could potentially be corrected here. No, it's good stuff. And same with me. I had wrote down the same thing, offensive line, wide receivers. And I put linebackers because I don't think they're great at top, but I think there's just a lot of them. There's a Baron Browning. I mean, there's a few that you didn't even think of that are going to be pretty good in the second and third round. Which position groups are the most top heavy? Now, obviously, tight ends, right? Do we have to discuss that with Pitts there? It's Pitts and nobody else. That's why that's the most top heavy I've ever seen in my life. And I put running backs because really with Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, I guess Trey Sermon maybe, but he's not grading out that great. He had the injury. I have those two, and then I have a bunch a lot lower. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so tight ends is obvious. I had running backs too. Cool. Najee Harris, Etienne. I really like Javonte Williams from North Carolina. But after that, people aren't real excited about the other guys. It's not one of those drafts where you can get a bunch of running backs in the second or third round that become starters for you. They don't feel that way. And I would say maybe quarterbacks on some level. I mean, we might go five in the top seven or eight picks and then not see another one till the third round. I mean, people are talking up Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond and Davis Mills, but I don't know. They always say that, and then it seems like those guys end up slipping like the third or fourth round. So I'm not sold that those guys will go in the second. I'm not sold on the quarterback depth. You know, every year that like they bring up these quarterbacks, the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, he's going to be a starter. He could be a starter. That never happens. Like almost very rarely happens.
Yeah,
I know. Kirk Cousins fourth round or whatever.
People are still stuck on Tom Brady being drafted in the sixth round, I think. I don't know why they keep thinking they're going to find gold like that. But, you know, as a sports bettor, you know the real odds of that happening so deep. Let's have a little fun then, Ross. Let's talk about some of the early odds here. And obviously a lot of things can change here. I'm going to pick wide receivers first because I do have some beef with wide receivers.
I had a good draft last year from 2020 from a betting. But you always remember the losers. You always remember that. And so I, like you, Ross, I like wide receivers do not move the needle. You know, that's what I said in 2020. These GMs can't be this dumb. They're not going to go after wide receivers. So I went and I bet a pretty sizable play on under 6.5 wide receivers in the first round just because it was so deep. But I'll tell you this, it went to 7, man. And I was wrong. And I was pissed. But I took some sort of solace in the fact, a little bit of vindication, that not one of those 7 teams that drafted a first-round wide receiver went to the playoffs. So, you know, kind of felt good about that part, but I was still pretty upset that they went so early with the receivers, my man. So,
well, yeah, and I would just say in general, I hope your listeners are fired up because the draft is a great moneymaker for sports bettors. I mean, it is. If you're really paying attention and you know who to follow, you can, I mean, especially on some of these first player to be picked at a position or who's going to be the number 3 overall pick or, you know, even the over-under for specific players, boy, I think you can really get some really good numbers on betting the NFL draft if you're paying attention.
Absolutely. And also watch out for mock drafts that are absolutely garbage. There's mock drafts that I've seen that has like 3-4 defensive ends going as edge rushers, you know, type things. And I'm like, what? This makes no sense. They're running a 4-3 this year. You know, I see a lot of that. I'm like, this does not fit Saleh. You know, this does not fit some of the guys that are going to be coaching. Watch out for that because that's important. Teams are not going to draft a heavier edge rusher if they run a 3-4 defense. You know, their outside linebacker is going to be not 270 pounds. He's going to be maybe around 250, 240 pounds. So that's something I look at as well. But going to the receivers, Ross, over 4.5 is highly juiced at minus 300. My mock draft says 4. I'm not saying I'm playing it, but what are your thoughts?
Ooh, that's interesting. Trying to look at, you know, it gets tough because you got to look at who's drafting at the back end. I mean, we know 3 for sure. Mm-hmm. And we feel pretty good, I would say, about Bateman at 4. Then the question is, you know, I think Bateman goes late round 1 somewhere. The question is, does somebody else go there? I would probably say over. I would say one of those guys, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, ends up going late round 1 to somebody. So I'd probably go over, but I don't like the odds.
No, the odds are terrible. And I think I lean to the under because of the odds. But Elijah Moore was, I put him at Tennessee just because of the whole Ole Miss thing with A.J. Brown. I kind of bought into that. And some of the mock drafts that I did trust and some of the scouts that I trust had it. I think they still could go offensive line. I mean, they had the worst pass protection last year. But I think that he could be popped. But then they're talking about the Packers getting Bateman at 29. The Packers still haven't done that for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, they still have some other positions, like they could help stop the run and a few other things. And I thought that, you know, some of his backup receivers did okay. The Packers would screw me if they get Bateman there. So that's why I haven't pulled the trigger on the under there. So with the plus 150, I'm going to lean to the under, but I'm not going to lay minus 300 in the over. I think you kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page there. I think I don't like the odds enough.
All right, so total offensive players, let's go to drafted in the first round. I count 18 on mine, but I could definitely see more. The number's 18.5. The juice is pretty close. Any thoughts on this one?
Well, considering I think there's a chance the top 10 picks could all be on offense, certainly I feel like the top 9, I would probably lean to the over. I got to tell you, though, Kiev, I am way better at over-under for individual players than I am. Like my brain starts to melt when I'm trying to count how many offensive guys there are and whether it's 18 or 19. Off the top of my head, considering we think five quarterbacks and what we said about the O-line depth and the wide receivers, I would tend to go over 18. Because there might not be any D tackles. There'll be a few D ends, a few corners, maybe a linebacker or two. But like I said, off the top of my head, I'd probably go over 18 and a half.
Plus, you're getting one tight end for sure, and you might not be getting a safety at all. So that's
right. It's a good point.
So I like that. Yeah. Even though I have 18 in my actual numbers, I would still probably lean to the over on that one. Maybe shop that around a little bit. No, let's get to the players in a minute here then. Real quick, I think that the Steelers could draft Najee Harris, so I will lean to the over on running backs. It's one half of a running back, so minus 250 to the over. I think the Steelers mentioned that they're going to improve their run game coming into this draft, so that's a big potential. And I think they like to draft best player, and I think Najee Harris has proved how good he was. And I'm gonna say safeties. I'm gonna go under on. I know it's a half, but I'm getting plus 150. I can't guarantee anyone's gonna grab a safety here, Ross. Any quick thoughts on those two before we move to positions?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like over running back. I do think one of them sneaks in at the bottom of round one. And under safety. I think you're on the right. I feel better about the, well, you know what? That Trayvon Morig kid from the Chiefs, I mean, from TCU, people really like. I don't know. I mean, I think those are good numbers. I think half is the right number for both those positions.
Yeah, I think Trayvon Moore does stick out a little bit, but I don't think anyone's going to try to shoot for him. You know, I think it's when somebody sticks out a lot and that's why I like the running backs. You know, if somebody sticks out a lot, it's like, well, I need a running back, but I don't want any of the other bottom ones. I need one of those two. Then they're going to move up. This could be like a Clyde Edwards-Hilaire situation, right? You think the running back number was good until it wasn't at pick 32 last year. So this very much could happen in this draft as well. Well, you know, linebacker, I have, offensive lineman, my number is 7 and the number 6.5, and it's juiced to the over, so I'm not touching that. And cornerbacks, I have 4 exactly, and the number's 4. So we'll move on. Let's go to some of these players then, my man. Let's start out with Devontae Smith. Since he was so great in the championship game, his draft position is 11.5, over or under, Ross?
That is a good one.
I gave you a good
What's the juice?
It's actually pretty close. 11, juice to the over, slightly. Minus 130, minus 110, but those numbers should go lower because these are just openers.
I'm going to go over. I think that there will be at least two wide receivers that go ahead of him in Ja'Marr Chase and Jaylen Waddle. And so I think that there will be quarterbacks. So I'll go over. Don't feel great about it, especially at 11.5. I could see the Giants doing it at 11. But I'll go over on Devontae Smith.
I'm going to lean to the over. I have the Eagles grabbing him at number 12 just because Jalen Hurts is there. And they played a little bit in 2017, 2018 together. So the fact that it's 11.5, I'm going to go over as well. He's getting a lot of flack for his size. You know, he's real small. And, of course, my comeback is like, look at Marvin Harrison. You know, he made it great. But I guess Tavon Austin was similar and didn't have a good career. But what I saw from Devontae Smith, I think he's going to be a great player either way. But I do lean a little bit over. Let's go to Ja'Marr Chase then. Stick it with the receivers here. Under or over 6, Ross? And under is juiced at minus 250.
And it's right at 6? It's not 6.5?
Oh, it's right at 6, man.
Oh, that's tough. I feel like for draft picks, it should always be like a 6.5 and then just switch the juice. You know what I mean? Like, as opposed to having it on a pick. So when it's under 6, that means he's got to be one of the top 5 picks. I'll go over. I would go over for that because I think there's a pretty good chance he goes six to the Dolphins. He's not going four. So the only spot he could go was the Bengals at five, but they could take Pitts. They could take Sewell. So I like the over quite a bit if it's six for Jamar Chase.
Yeah, they should have the hook on all these, Ross. I agree. That way we're either winning or losing. Nobody likes to push in this business, right? So,
right.
So there you go. And you know, it's juice to the under, so hell, put it at 5.5 because I like the over, Ross. And I like the over because everyone's saying, you know, I think the whole correlation with, you know, him playing for Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's going to pound his fist to get him. It's like, first of all, quarterbacks, just like Patrick Mahomes said in his interview, if they're asked their opinion, they're going to talk about it. They're not going to go to their coach and start bugging them to draft someone this early, especially as a rookie coming off knee surgery. And the whole knee surgery thing makes me even more sure they're going to draft Sewell at this position. You know, why draft another receiver when you got T. Higgins from last year? Boyd is doing a fantastic job. I'm taking the plus 170, man. I think there's a very good chance this thing goes farther here. And I got Jamar Chase going number eight to Carolina, you know, to replace Samuel.
Wow, who do you have the Dolphins taking at six?
I had him trading, I think. Hold on. No, I am at six. Kyle Pitts. I got Pitts.
Oh, wow. Who's going at four?
He's going at four. I did a mock trade. I traded Denver down to grab a quarterback. And I think...
Yeah, okay.
I think, if
the Falcons take a quarterback or trade, then the way you laid it out is very realistic. I think the Dolphins end up taking him at six, and it's a push.
All right. Well, hey, if it's a push, it's a push. But we've never seen a tight end like Kyle Pitts here. And he's tall. You know, he's a guy that can get it done. And the Dolphins aren't that great. I think Gesicki, is he still there? You know,
yep.
At tight end. I mean, they still have Parker there. Didn't they just sign Will Fuller too?
Yep.
Well, there you go. You know, it's Pitts. Come on. it's right until it isn't, right? So let's move on. We have, let's get in. I'm going to give you one here that I do have another play on. And it's Bateman. Bateman at 26.5 is the number. Over or under, the juice is pretty close.
Ooh, that's a good one. So if he's at 26.5, by the way, they'd be very surprised if it's not at least four receivers in the first round.
Yeah.
Right?
For him to be at
26.5.
Yeah.
I think I'll go over.
I went over.
I'm just looking at these teams. I'm not sure. You know, I guess the Bears or Washington, I guess some of these teams could take him, but I'll go over and think that he lands with, like, Baltimore or the Packers or someone like that.
I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan Pace picks a receiver and screws up my bet here, but we're going to go over as well on Bateman just because – I don't think that there's many teams that are going to try to reach for after the top three. You know, I think there's so many guys out there. There's Rondale Moore, there's Grimes, there's Tony. You know, there's just so many receivers that you can get in the second round. Why would you reach for them? And plus, the Packers can still get him at 29. And maybe if I did take the under 4.5, I would lose that, but I'll at least still win the over on Bateman here. I think that number's wrong. I think that number should be higher. There's just too many receivers out there. I'm taking the over. Rashawn Slater, someone in your backyard here, Mr. Offensive Lineman, Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, 10.5, Ross. The number is juiced to the under at minus 175.
I'll go under. I think there's a pretty good chance he lands anywhere between Detroit 7, Carolina 8, Denver 9. What'd you say the number was?
10.5.
Yeah, I think Dallas. I like the under. I think he ends up going 7, 8, 9, 10 is his sweet spot.
All right. So I have Slater. I have him at 13. But I'm not super confident about it. A lot of people have him as the second best offensive tackle. Or slash guard, right? They say, you know, he can play both positions here. You know, he really stuck out when he blocked Chase Young a couple years ago. He really did. He was one of the few in the Big Ten that kind of, I guess, contained him slightly. No one stopped him, but he did a good job there. I also like the 4.9 140, 4.45 shuttle for a big guy like that. So pretty good pick there, whoever's going to get him. A couple more let's do because we only have a few more minutes. Trey Lance, 6.5, juice to the under, minus 165.
Well, that's a tough one. I think I'd go over. I don't think the Niners are going to take him at 3. I don't think Atlanta does it at 4. Maybe somebody trades up, but I think he's in that 7, 8, 9 Detroit, Carolina, Denver wheelhouse. I'll go over.
All right. So I have Denver trading down, but I don't know if they're going to get Mac Jones or I put Trey Lance, but I can see them doing Mac too. But I also see the Patriots trading up for Mac with the Lions. So I'm going to slightly lean to the under. It's juiced to the under, so that's what they're telling you, but I have no strong opinion on that one. Let's go with Kyle Pitts, 5.5.
I'm going under. I think he's the 4th or 5th pick in the draft. I mean, he might go 6th, but I don't think Atlanta's going to take a quarterback. I think Pitts is the best player in the draft. I think he goes 4 or 5.
I'm going to lean under, and I do have him going – no, I am going 6, actually. So, no play. You know, here's the thing. If I'm going to go over on Jamar Chase and under on Pitts, I can lose 2 bets here. So I don't need to overexpose myself on these two guys because I think these are the 2 best pass catchers in the draft, right? And well, as far as – I mean, this is a tight end we've never seen before. So that's my thoughts on that one. I'm probably going to lay off. Let's go with – I don't see – let's go with Caleb Farley. He's a highly regarded – cornerback here. 2nd on a lot of people's lists, maybe 1st on some. 23.5 is the number, even juice.
Wow. And that is one where, Kiev, if you were paying attention, you could have gotten a much better number a few weeks ago. As soon as you knew he had the 2nd back surgery, you could have hammered the under as soon as that, I'm sorry, the over, as soon as that came out. Mm-hmm. I'm all over the, I was all over that right when it happened. Now I'm not quite so sure. 23.5 is, you're getting down to the point where I think he's about ready to get drafted right around there. That's probably a no play for me. If anything, I would still lean over. I would still, you know, he's talented, but 2 back surgeries, that's concerning.
Yeah, certainly concerning. I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. You know, they're at number 10. They scare me because they make bad picks all the time. So maybe I go and get the guy with back surgery here at Caleb Farley. I don't know. But I'm going to lean to the under. It's just a little too high for me. So I'll disagree with you on that one. Let's do one more here. And I'm not going to make, I want to find an easier one. These ones have been tough, Russ. Travis Etienne, here we go. 35.5 is his number, all right? 35.5, even juice. What are your thoughts?
I'll say under. I could see him going late round 1. Or even in round 2, I could see even like Atlanta taking him at 35. You know, they put it right there, right before the Dolphins at 36, those jerks. they know where they're setting these, man. They know exactly how and where to set these. 36.5, I would love the under. They really do a good job. Most of these numbers I feel like have been really good.
Yeah, and here's who they miss, though. The New York Jets. I think the Jets have those nice 2 picks here in the 1st round, but now they got to get a run game going here. And I think the Jets will want a guy like Travis Etienne. you know, to kind of be attack from the pass, you know, attack from the run. And he kind of fits now. They just need to get something going here in New York. So I can see them getting that. And I think that, you know, they're going to get a defensive player for their second pick. But I wouldn't be shocked. I think there could be some teams that scramble a little bit when they see Najee Harris picked, right? And I think they're going to be like, well, there's one more guaranteed running back that we know is a surefire number one. And I know you like, what's his name from Montgomery? What's his name from North Carolina?
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams. Yeah. And I know you like him too. I don't know if other teams are going to feel the same strength just seeing two guys from, you know, Clemson and Alabama. So I'm going to go under as well, Ross. So I'm going to lean with you on the under, but I'm not sure if I'm going to play that, my man. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with me, my man. Great talk about the draft here, and really appreciate your insights. This was a lot of fun. Where can our listeners get your great information?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a blast. Always, Kiev. Can't wait to get you on the Even Money podcast soon. Just follow me on social at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Then you can see when I post any of the shows, and you can check out the highlight clips of the shows to see whether or not you want to give me a shot and actually listen. I think if you like Kiev, you like Odds Breakers, I really do think you'd love the Even Money podcast. Please give it a shot. Fezzik is amazing.
You love Even Money, but if you're preparing for this draft, make sure you check out the College Draft Podcast and the Ross Tucker NFL Podcast as well. Thanks again, Ross. Really appreciate it. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Kev.
My friends, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you got some great knowledge for the NFL Draft coming up next weekend. If you have any questions about some of the line moves that we're going to see, some of the changes that we're going to see in the draft when some trades are made, please tweet us at The Odds Breakers. Make sure you check out Ross Tucker and his group of podcasts. Just follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. My friends, we are going to have a UFC podcast coming up later this week to cover UFC 261. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your week and go get some winners.